Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast, hosted by Jonathan Moody and Donnie Sturgis.
Hey guys, welcome to another wonderful, fun installment of Hollywood Boulevard podcast. Tonight I will be hosting the show as we talk about the two Gate movies, Gate 1 and Gate 2. With me as always is my co-host, Jonathan Moody.
Hey, what's up, man?
And then our producer Alfred Crane will be joining us as well as usual.
Hello, I'm sitting here with Dr. Zayas and Fluffy tonight, joining you all to talk about the Gate.
Hey, I'm with
nice.
Lady, so there you go.
I'm all alone. All my girlies are off on house adventures somewhere.
Oh,
all right, so this was For tonight's show, like I mentioned, we're going to be covering The Gate and Gate 2. Two movies, well, one movie that's been one of my favorites since I was a kid. The other one I just watched just a couple weeks ago for the first time because I'd never seen it. And I kind of wanted to just kind of talk about these a little bit because they're one of them's considered kind of a classic. The other one's kind of considered, I guess, a cult classic. I don't even know if it's even that, if it's considered that good. I mean, Shout Factory... Or Scream Factory did just put out a Blu-ray of it about a month or so ago, so there's that. So a little bit of background. Well, let me start with this. you guys both watched The Gate, but you guys haven't seen The Gate. Did either of you see The Gate 2? I know, Jonathan, you said you haven't seen The Gate 2 yet. Did you get a chance to see the second one, Alfred?
I have not.
All right, you guys are horrible. You guys get an F for effort.
I'm kidding. Gate one.
Well, that's the important one, really. That's the one that's actually considered decent. I'll talk about The Gate two as well, just because I do have some thoughts on it after watching it. We'll start with some initial impressions since you guys came into the first Gate movie late. Alfred, what are your thoughts on the first Gate film overall?
I thought it was actually pretty good. It's one of those that I was like, had I seen it? Had I not seen it? And one of my friends, we were discussing it on a thread today, and he's like, I remember parts of it. I don't remember if I saw the whole thing. And then when I watched it, and I was like, it was actually good. It was better than I thought it was going to be. And it did have some scenes we'll probably get into there. It's like, as soon as I saw the scene, I was like, that's the movie.
Right.
The one thing I don't want to go into right now, we'll get to it, but it was very iconic and it was very cool. The opening credits, when I saw that, I was like, I thought immediately of Stranger Things, you know, with
sure,
the red
sure.
and the black credits. And I was like, well, and Stranger Things just drew on so much stuff. I thought it was really cool. The music was wild. They had the kind of like a Brady Bunch poltergeist-ish home.
Sure, yeah.
Where all the events
very
happened,
much so.
And the special effects were cool. And the model rockets really brought that back to me because I did a lot of SD's model rockets when I was a kid.
Oh,
and
sweet.
Had
so,
some misadventures with those as well.
See, this is a movie that probably would have been right up your alley if you had seen it when it first came out.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome.
But
okay,
I'm
glad you liked it.
Was good. And when it said Stephen Dorff was in it, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. His
like
first film role. Yeah, his first film role, a little pudgy kid. Like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Jonathan, what are your thoughts on the film?
Well, I watched it with a friend of mine last night. We do a movie night every Sunday night, and usually I... like I'll pick a bunch of movies and he'll choose or whatever, and that, or and then the next week, vice versa. And
sure.
So I picked a bunch of I showed him Shudder, right? And I told him I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be doing The Gate eventually, so I was either going to watch it later that night or then, you know, if he picked it. And he picked The Gate because he had seen it. And he actually said, I don't know if Shudder has, like, some, like, a special edition version that has, like, extra scenes, but there was a couple he did not remember, and he's seen the movie way more than once. So
sure.
There was a couple he didn't remember at all, and that was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool, like, I don't know, it was a fun little 80s film. It seemed like a movie that I would have fell in love with Krista Denton, like, had I
oh,
watched
yeah.
it when I was a kid. You know, I would have been like, that's
oh,
my new crush.
I certainly
but,
did.
Yeah,
I certainly had a crush
she,
on her when I watched it.
Yeah, she's adorable. And she really, like, honestly, it was like one of the best brother-sister combo kind of things, you know, like. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed everything about it, like the whole idea and concept and everything. So I think we're going to go into that stuff, and I don't want to, you know, go into that until we
sure.
talk about that. But so that's it. I just really, really enjoyed The Gate, and I wish that I could have bought The Gate too, but it's like $22 on Blu-ray, and I'm like right now in kind of like non-spending until Texas and
sure,
mode
sure,
right
sure.
now, and you know, and it's not available anywhere else for streaming, not even to rent, and that is a bummer.
I know,
you know,
it is really weird.
Oh, go ahead.
No,
yeah,
I was agreeing with you. I just said it's really strange that, because usually movies like that, like if Scream or Shout Factory puts out a movie, usually it'll end up on Prime at least to rent. But for some reason, because the first Gate's on Prime I think you might actually be on Prime, but I might not be. You might have to rent it. But I was really surprised too that the second one wasn't available for at least renting on Amazon. So it's kind of strange.
It's on Prime.
Too.
Let me let you guys know it's on Prime, but only as a Shudder add-on. So you have to get the Shudder add-on from Amazon or get Shudder to watch it. And Shudder's only $5. $5
right.
a month. So that's
it's not bad.
I hate to say, but that's a really good deal for like a junk load of horror films. So
sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let me give you a little backstory, because I saw it, like, it was one of those movies that they played on cable like all the time when I was like it came out in 87. I probably saw it either right around 87 or 88. So I would have been about 13, 14 years old. So it hit me right at the right point in my life. Like, it was like one of those things where, you know, I was big, and like Goonies was huge at that point in time. Monster Squad, movies like that, where it was basically kid centric. It had a dark enough horror bent that it was scary, but it wasn't like ultra scary. It wasn't like Freddy Krueger. It wasn't like, you know, like all these really like super gruesome R rated. I think it's like PG-13 at best. So it really hit that perfect sweet spot where I was already watching horror movies since I was 10 at that point. And this one came along and it really hit that Goonies kind of Monster Squad kind of vibe. I at the time I didn't know who Stephen Dorff was, because I mean, he just started, you know, he was brand new to the whole business. But like you said, Jonathan, I had a huge crush, on the sister. And I really loved the dynamic that they had, because it would have been so easy to have them be the typical, like going at it and being just like, you know, being like, I mean, there's a little bit of antagonism between the two of them, but for the most part, the whole movie really focuses on how close they are as brother and sister. And that's the thing that saves the day. So, I remember watching it and just loving the hell out of it. And so every time it was on cable, I'd watch it every time. And even when it like was on like regular, like network television, it wasn't edited too much. There was a couple of gruesome parts, cause it's not really that gruesome. It's not very violent. It's not very gory. It's really just, the imagery is just really, really intense in a lot, in some scenes, like perfect for, it's like that perfect movie for when you're transitioning, you know, in your teenage years, your early teenager going, you know, you're not quite an adult yet to watch the older fare, but you've kind of outgrown like the stuff, like, you know, the kid stuff. So that, like I said, I think it would have been perfect for you, Alfred, because, I mean, you're a little older than I am, but I think you still would have been in that sweet spot where you would have loved it perfectly when it came out, because that's where I was. And so it's one of my favorites because and for those who aren't familiar with the movie, I'll break it down for you real quick. Basically, it's Stephen Dorff plays this kid. He's probably maybe 10 years old, maybe a little younger. His older sister is like 14, 15, and their parents go away for the weekend and leave her as a babysitter. Well, Stephen Dorff's character, I think his name is Glenn, him and his best friend who lives next door, they accidentally summon demons. And it's very – that's one of the, another thing I love about it. It's very Cthulhu-like in the themes, because the demons that are summoned are the dark ones from before, you know, God and everything. So it has a very Cthulhu kind of theme to it, which is really awesome. Even the creature design is very Cthulhu-like. Multiple eyes, multiple arms and stuff. So they accidentally summon these demons from in this hole in their backyard, and the whole thing is just them. It's just very kid-centric. It's like the kids are the heroes in this movie. Like, there's no adult supervision this entire film except the very beginning when the parents are there. But it's basically these kids fending for themselves. And I was big into that at that time. I was like, I loved, cause I identified with it, cause I used to live in a trailer park and we'd go have adventures in the woods behind the trailer park and stuff. So I was very in tune to that sort of thing. But I think it still holds up even now. Like it's got a lot, it's got good themes to it. It's got some good special effects work. But anyway, so they try to summon these demons, or they accidentally summon these demons, and then they try to basically send them back through the gate. All sorts of really cool shit happens. Zombies come out, little demonic minions come out and everything. Really fun. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Like I said, I think you can rent it on Amazon if you don't do the Shutter Pack. Otherwise, you have to do the Shutter Pack in order to get it. But so that's the plot. And from what I've been reading about this, the original concept for it was a little different. The original concept was basically the guy who wrote it was basically like basing on his childhood and all the horrible things that he dealt with, like nasty thoughts and nightmares and stuff. And the brother and sister originally supposed to be more like mischievous and more kind of antagonistic than they were. And the demons were supposed to like spread to the rest of the town and like start. And it was actually supposed to be a lot more dark and nefarious than the original than what ended up. But I'm kind of glad we ended up with what we had. Let's go with the production. Let's dive into the production. Because that's one of the things I think is so great about this movie. Didn't have a very high budget. I think it was a Canadian production, in fact, or like a U.S. Canadian joint production. But the production and the cast. So the production was again very low budget. But if you look at how well the film is shot, and how well the special effects are, considering the budget that they had. And the cast that they got was pretty decent, all things considered. Like you said, a young Stephen Dorff. So, thoughts from Alfred or Jonathan, whichever wants to go first, on you know what you thought about the production of side of things. Like, did it look too chintzy? Did it look too cheap? Or did it look like they did a really great job of really making the buck go as far as they could, as far as production and cast is concerned? Jonathan, we'll go you first.
I think there might be a little cheesiness at times, you know, like, I know, they must have just stopped motion animation or something.
They did.
And it looks cool, like all the effects are cool, but then you can kind of, you know, you can tell it's stop motion, you know, or whatever, like,
sure.
The little demons and then the really big demon was awesome. I really, really enjoyed that, that part. I was not expecting that at all. So when I really enjoyed it. And all the, like, the other creatures, all the zombies, basically, that kind of come around or whatever, those were really cool. So I don't know. I thought for an 80s, kind of Monster Squad style movie, it did really well to kind of show off this, you know, the effects and things like that. So I really, yeah, I think the production was pretty high. What do you think, Alfred?
I thought the same. I was really impressed. I mean, some of the cinematography at first, just compared to today, I got to take myself back, like, you know, 31 years. Video production quality wasn't as good as it was back then for some movies. But it was really, I liked how it was filmed. And the stop motion animation for the demonettes or the mini me demons were, I thought they were really cool, and they were so smooth it was hard to tell if they were actually stop motion. I mean, you could, but they just did it so well, and they creeped the hell out of me when Terrence falls into the pit, and then he's like, "Hey guy," it's almost like he's like, "Oh, what a cute little monster." And then all of a sudden, it's like
that one comes over and like bites him in the ankle.
Yeah, it's like holy cow!
All of them.
And
start
I thought that was
him.
Really
That's
cool.
Crazy.
Huh? Oh yeah, that was crazy. And then that zombie that came out of the wall. I've seen a lot of horror movies, but that was really creepy. That zombie is probably one of the top ones I've seen in a long time. I mean, it wasn't that he was scary. He just was like, he was scary, but it just wasn't like there was something about it that was just creepy as hell. He was like creepy and scary. And it was like, I don't want to be near that guy.
I think the scariest part with him was when she's looking in the mirror and you can see him in the mirror, but she can't. And he's standing there and he's just kind of looking at her. That creeped me out as a child. Like I was like, holy shit, that's just too intense. And then he looks even better once he takes a shotgun to the face, because then all of a sudden you see part of his skull, and the makeup effects are just incredible for that stuff.
It was really high. The final demon, I thought they underdid it. I mean, if they would have done, it just wasn't as believable as the other two things. But my favorite special effects scene that was still floors me this day is when the zombie falls and then he splits into all the demonettes.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah. Interesting story about the little minions. They were not stop motion. They were not stop motion.
They weren't.
Oh wow.
No, and it's one of my favorite things about the movie, because there's actually there's little featurettes you should be able to find online either on YouTube or something that talk about it. The minions are actually people in suits, and everything that was done with the minions was forced perspective.
Wow.
They built giant bedroom sets and stuff and did forced perspective, and the minions were all people in costume.
Dang.
Wow,
to me, that is one of the most amazing things about this movie, is the fact that with such a low budget, they were able to pull that off to the point where it fools people. People think that it's just really smooth stop motion, and it's not. It's forced perspective with people in suits, and it looks so damn good. It looks so damn good. It's like a magician's trick.
That explains it, because I was like, man, I thought, because it would look like it for a little bit, but then I was like, this is really cool. I mean, I was impressed. And when they're trying to break, eating their way through the door, I was like, oh god.
I was really hoping that neither one of you caught that, because I wanted to see your reactions when I revealed that that's what it wasn't stop motion, because most people think the same thing. I did when I was a kid too. I thought it was all stop motion, and then when as I got older, I saw a featurette on it, and I was like, are you shitting me? Like, that's crazy. Like, these guys are just. Like, it was so well done. Like I said, forced perspective to basically pull all that off. I think the only stop motion was when the zombie splits up into the – or, like, when the hands – but like, anything that hits the ground and splits up into little pieces is stop motion, and then the demon at the end is stop motion. But everything else, yeah, it's just – I was blown away when I found that out, you can actually do a search for it online, and you'll find like behind the scenes set pictures and stuff showing the big giant bedroom set that they built, and all the guys like in costume standing there waiting for the scene to shoot. It's really neat to see the behind the scenes photos. It's so cool. I highly recommend seeking those out when you get a chance, because it's really neat to see that stuff, you know, with the curtain drawn back.
Okay, I just want to warn you guys. I accidentally hung up, you know. I didn't mean to. And so you guys kept talking, so I'm guessing it kept recording. It did say start your show now, but then it said continue. So I have no idea what just happened. I am hoping it recorded everything, because it's you guys are still on talking. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm hoping we didn't miss a few things, but if we did, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to hang up. I pressed the wrong button on my phone, and
oops.
Shit, I thought it just would turn. I thought it would just turn my screen off real quick, because I kept pressing things with my freaking face. So, all right. Well,
did you miss
live, for you guys lost something live. I am so sorry. And, you know, but I'm pretty sure we didn't. So anyway, carry on.
So did you miss
the end was creepy too.
Yeah, did you miss the reveal, Moody? That I said.
I might have. Okay, can you repeat it just in case, and just in case other people might have.
The minions weren't stop motion.
Oh, I got that. I got that part.
Okay,
but
good.
Is there any
good
more to it that I missed?
Oh no, just if you get a chance, like go online. There's featurettes and there's behind the scenes photos of exactly like the big giant bedroom set. And like all the people in costume, like, but yeah, no, just that's pretty much all I was just going on and on about it. Cause it's really impressive that a lot of people think that it's stop motion, but it's really just people in suits and forced perspective and giant sets that were created. Especially considering the low budget that they had, that they managed to pull this off and it looks so good. That's pretty much all I had said. I didn't know how long you've been off the phone. So I just wanted to make sure you didn't miss the,
I'm looking on it live. While it's doing the playback or whatever, and it had said waiting for host to call in, so we might have missed it live, but I think it's still recorded, so hopefully everybody can still hear. You know, like I think it records while you guys are on here, so if you guys missed it live for like a split second, I think it was only like literally a minute or two. Go check it out in the archives and see if that's what happened. So, it's saying 22 minutes in. So I'm thinking it's still been recording.
We're spending more time talking about it recording than actually focusing on the show.
Okay. All right. Let's continue.
All right. I think we've talked about the special effects and how impressive they are. I mean, between the makeup effects and again, the special effects are really good. So as a whole, I think the movie, the first gate is pretty much deserves the cult classic status. I mean, Vestron, which is a really cool DVD Blu-ray company like Scream Factory, Shout Factory, and Arrow. Vestron put out a special edition Blu-ray and DVD of the first gate that has a lot of extra stuff on it. I think it has some of the featurettes I was talking about and set pictures and everything. So if you haven't already gotten the Lionsgate version that came out a few years ago, which is kind of bare bones, the Vestron video version I think is available on Amazon. It's a little bit pricier, but it comes with so much more. Because Vestron's another one of those companies, like I said, they're picking up like all these out of date titles or out of print titles and bringing them back, which is really awesome. I love all the companies that are doing that right now. But I digress. So I guess what I want to talk about for the first gate before I jump into the gate two, which that'll be more of a one-sided conversation. The appeal of the first gate. So, and this will be kind of cool because I'm coming at it from somebody who's grown up with it, and you guys are coming at it from a fresh perspective. So what do you guys think, coming at it from a fresh perspective, seeing it for the first time since it came out in 87, What do you guys think is the appeal of this kind of movie, either at the time or either or in the current horror climate, or both, depending on which one you want to answer? Alfred, we'll go with you first this time.
I'm real quick. Hopefully you didn't lose us. We may have dropped line for about a minute. We're back, but we're about to go. We are in our 5-minute warning until you have to join us on recording for the final 15. So if we drop off again, you can just pick us up on the podcaster. So, yeah, I thought the appeal, looking back, I probably would have liked to have watched it when I was younger because it did have that adventure feel. It had, like, a lot of this stuff, like, nowadays, I was, like, you know, the games in the room and, like, the model rockets and just to have model rockets with explosives. I mean, I don't even know if they sell those anymore. But I thought it had the adventure appeal like Goonies or Stranger Things has now, qualities of just having some crazy stuff happen at your house. And one thing I thought was really cool, you had mentioned the Cthulhu stuff, was when they were listening to the heavy metal and he's playing the music backwards.
Yep.
And whenever you play movie music backwards, that bug, I mean, that's like, whoa, that's crazy. You know, but it's another one of those creepy things. Like, I think it was in A House of a Thousand Corpses, they're playing Aleister Crowley backwards when she's going into the pit. And I'm like, dear Lord, that's scary. But I digress. But yeah, I think it has appeal for today. Maybe a little bit dated, but it wasn't so gory that it was not watchable. And it was something that definitely captures the 80s horror spirit.
Cool. Yeah, that's all good points.
And the eye in the hand was...
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
I didn't mean to cut you off on that one. Yes, the eye on the hand is really, really cool. That is actually one of my favorite parts, but I always wince, even nowadays, every time he goes to jab with the piece of glass, I wince every time. It's like, oh, God, no, stop it.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, what are your thoughts on the appeal? Do you think it still has appeal? Do you think, what do you think of its appeal in the 80s as opposed to its appeal now?
Like kind of what was said, I agree that the appeal, I think we live in an age right now where 80s, you know, is kind of being thrown back. You know, everybody's doing 80s stuff. It's actually, now it's going toward more 90s stuff, you know, which is weird. You know, but the 80s is a really big thing. There was like throwback slasher movies, you know, set like 80s and, you know, all these different things. And I mean, people just love the 80s. And so I think people would really, really, really get a kick out of this movie. I think that there has been some, like was said, Stranger Things probably did take a little bit from the gate, and things like that. So I'm sure it's very much got like a cult appeal. And people would these days would still get a kick out of it. It is not very dated, to be honest. I mean, there might be like posters on the wall of like musicians that, you know, are no longer around. But aside from that, I think it's really got its appeal. So I think people would still dig it. Is my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think. I think it's as far as when it came out in 87, I think it was a really good. I mean, because it did well in the box office, it did well enough to get a sequel made in the early 90s. So clearly, it was had plenty of appeal back then. And I think, like I mentioned before, you know, you had 80 like the mid to late 80s, you had a lot of kid centric. Films coming out at that time. You had, you know, Goonies, you had Monster Squad. There was a lot of kid centric adventure and horror films coming out around that time. You had Lost Boys, stuff like that. They were trying to appeal to a certain like a certain audience. Like, you really were, like, because they were doing these like horror films but also had kid appeal to them, you know, these adventure movies and stuff. And so I think, as far as the gate goes, It's a lower budget affair. It's a little bit a little chintzier when it comes to you know, the production value and everything, but I think it holds up really well. I think it holds its own against the bigger guys very well. I think the acting was pretty decent. I think everybody was on par. Anyone who was annoying in that film, I think, was meant to be annoying, and I think they did that very well as well. Like the two sisters. The two sisters, I hate them so much, but the thing is you're supposed to hate them because they're annoying as hell. I think by today's standards, I think there's a reason why Vestron has put it out on Blu-ray this year and why, you know, Scream Factory has put the second one out. I think the gate still holds up very well. There is some datedness, like the fashion, you know, the 80s hair, holy shit. Those two sisters, I actually knew girls in junior high that had hair like that. That was just the freaking hairspray and shit. Oh my God. But I think despite that, I think the special effects hold up really well. In fact, the special, like, even the stop motion is still decent. Cause they didn't try to go too overboard. I think if they try to do stop motion with anything more, grounded, like, you know, like anything else, it wouldn't have come off as well. But to do a demons are kind of ethereal and kind of weird looking anyway. So, and the demon doesn't really do a whole hell of a lot. Other than just stand there and blink and you know, grab Glenn and everything. So I think for the minimal amount of things that they do with it, I think the stop motion works really well. I think it holds up really well. There are some moments, I think, when the rocket goes through his torso, I think that's a little bit that's not very good. But right. by that point, you're already committed to the movie. So if you either already like the movie by that point, or you already hate the movie by that point. So that moment isn't really going to sway you either way, I think, in my opinion. But I think, you know, considering, like I said, with the minions and everything, I think it holds up really well. And I think it's really worth checking out if anybody hasn't seen it yet. So with that, kind of exhausted that one. We got like less than 15 minutes left. So, I'll throw us into the gate, the second gate, real quick, and just kind of bounce some stuff off you guys and see what you think. So, Gate 2 came out, I think, like 91. Came out a few years later, 91 or 92, 1990. Okay, my bad. So came out a few years later. Steven Dorff didn't come back. Nobody from that family came back. The only person who came back was Lewis Tripp, the kid who played his best friend, Terry.
Terry, yeah.
Well, yeah, a little bit older. Actually, quite a bit older. At least, you know, like two. Like he had like a growth spurt. Like between the first Gate movie and the second Gate movie, his balls dropped and he suddenly turned into a pimply faced teenager. It was weird. And so the premise of Gate 2 is a little bit, and here's the other thing too, the second Gate movie has I think they had a lesser budget. They were having a hard time trying to even get somebody to distribute it, and they finally did. But the production value feels more like a 1990s direct-to-video kind of film. You know what I'm talking about? So it definitely shows. But the second Gate film is kind of, it starts off more like a Monkey's Paw kind of movie. And it only like most sequels that came out in the late 80s, early 90s, it only like barely like acknowledges the first film. Because when we meet back up with Terry, he still lives in the same house with his dad. His best friend and their family moved away a long time ago, and their house is all decrepit and run down, and there's fences around it, you know, basically saying keep out and stuff. So they acknowledge that something weird happened there. His dad has gone from being a guy who's basically out on business all the time to somebody who doesn't have a job, and he's now drunk all the time, which is a weird change. But Terry is very much big into the wizard, like not wizarding, but he's very big into the occult now. And so he wants to try to recreate what happened in the first movie, like, which makes no sense whatsoever because they tried so hard to stop it in the first one. So he finds a way to, because he discovers that he can summon one of those minions from the first movie, and then if he captures it, it'll grant him wishes. So he manages to do that. Meanwhile, these two bullies and the girlfriend of one of the bullies managed to find him in the rundown house of his best friend, and they get involved. And so now all of a sudden they capture the minion and they're all making wishes. And the problem is the wishes are fine at first, but then eventually the wishes turn into literal shit. I am not even making this up. Literal shit. Prime example, they wish for a car. They get the car. The wish only lasts for like maybe like 24 hours. And then it turns into literal shit, like poop. It is the weirdest thing in the world. And eventually, what you find out is more demons are getting summoned through the portal because they accidentally fuck up again. And the two bullies are slowly starting to turn into demons because the demons are coming through, but they're trying to find a vessel to inhabit. And so they pick the two bullies. And so now Terry and the bully's ex-girlfriend have to stop these demons from coming through the portal and bringing all their buddies through. It's really, really interesting. I'll say this. It's not as good, obviously. I think the kid who plays Terry, Lewis Tripp, was better in the first one. I think he was funnier and smarter and more of a wisecracker. In this one, he's too dour and emo and just, you know, I mean, he's got the angst, which I guess it makes sense as he's supposed to be a teenager, but I don't know. It's just really weird. Like the first two thirds of the movie is kind of a slog to get through because it's like, it's a monkey's paw story, but they don't really execute it very well. It just takes forever to get through it. It's just, I don't know how you can make a monkey's paw storyline boring, but they managed to do it. The last third, the last half hour of the movie is actually really, really good because that's when the demons start to show up and all this really weird shit starts to happen. And so that's kind of how the sequel is. Is it worth buying for $20 on Amazon, Jonathan? No. you made a wise decision.
Glad I didn't do that.
You made a wise decision. Is it worth watching? Yes, it's worth watching for two reasons. One, the '90s horror vibe, because you guys are all familiar with kind of how horror transitioned in the '90s, and really, especially the early '90s. It's neat. It's a neat time capsule to see how the second gate differs from the first. And the last half hour is, I would almost say it's so good it's worth at least renting, if not waiting to see if it pops up on Netflix or somewhere free. Since neither of you guys really saw it, you guys can't really give me any feedback on it. I will say the production quality is definitely lower. You can tell. I mean, there are some decent special effects. I think they do some of the forced perspective stuff again with the one minion that they catch. But the plot, you know, it's different enough that it's almost like disregarding some elements of the first film. It's definitely not worth $20. I'll give you that. You made a wise decision there. But it's definitely, I definitely recommend at least checking it out, at least to get through the first slog and get to the last half hour. Because the last half hour is really, really fun. But also makes the first two thirds stand out even more is just how bad they are. So I guess, since you guys didn't see it, I guess I'll just throw out an open-ended, like, if you guys have questions or anything you guys want to say about it, you know, just feel free. Open discussion, Jonathan. Anything you want to say about it? You know, any thoughts or any questions you have about the film at all?
No, I'm just hoping it comes on Amazon Prime at some point. I mean, it seems like this would be a perfect thing for Amazon Prime to have, you know, as far as things go. I don't know why Scream Factory wouldn't release it. They release like pretty much every other, you know, movie from their factory. So weird, but yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, it's really strange because like you said, like most stuff that comes out from Shout or Scream Factory usually ends up on Amazon Prime or on Amazon to rent, and so it's really weird that the first gate's there, but the second one isn't. And I really thought it would be as soon as it came out on Blu-ray, but I don't know why.
I'll ask Shudder when I see them at Texas Frightmare if they can put Gate
sure.
2 on Shudder, you know, if
sure.
they can get the rights to that or something, that'd be awesome.
That'd be cool. The only other place I haven't checked, so I don't know for certain, but the only other place that I could imagine that you might be able to find it is because I know Shout Factory has their own channel on like on Roku and stuff. Because that's where they show all of the MST3K episodes and everything that they have. You might be able to find it on the Shout Factory channel on like Roku and services like that, but I don't know for a fact. I'd have to check. But if anybody would have it, they might. What about you, Alfred? You got any questions, any insights or concerns about the second gate that I can try to answer?
Does it leave it open for gate 3?
No. No, it doesn't. And to be fair, the first movie didn't really leave it open for a gate 2. Like it pretty much was like you know, it was all cut and dry, tied into a little bow. They saved humanity and they just kind of sat there waiting for the parents to show up to see how their house was still trashed. There's a little go ahead.
Kind of like Weird Science in reverse. This time the house didn't get fixed.
right, exactly. The thing I will say about the Gate 2 is that there's a little bit more humor to it than the first one. I think they were kind of – it's a different director as far as I remember. So it's just a different kind of tone. It's a weird tone because it doesn't really seem as much of a horror film as the first one is. Because like I said, most of the part is just them running around making wishes and having the wishes go fine at first, but then suddenly – I had no idea that there was gonna be so much like fake shit in this movie, just suddenly pop up like, oh look, there's shit. Like at one point the two bullies are in a restaurant because they wished for like a lot of money, and so they're in a fancy restaurant and they're going to pay for their dinner, and suddenly the guy reaches into his pocket and the money is already turned into shit, and so he pulls out all the shit and just everywhere, and I'm like, oh my god, what the hell is going on? Like, I don't know whose idea that was, but holy shit, literally. There definitely was more attempts at humor in this. The makeup effects weren't bad. Like, some of the demon effects that they did for when the guys were turning into demons was pretty cool. I think they did a little bit of stop motion for one of the demons there as well. But, as a whole, very, very... very weak addition to the series. Although the ending is really interesting too. They add one final joke that I won't spoil in case you guys get a chance to see it. But the appeal for this one, briefly, definitely not the first one. The first one's a classic. I think the second one, if you're into like schlocky, kind of campy, kind of like you're into that 90s kind of like not so great horror kind of stuff. This is definitely the movie for you. And I said, like I said, the last half hour, I think is worth it. But it's just not. It doesn't quite have the appeal. I'm really surprised that Scream Factory got the rights and put it out. Honestly, so I don't. It just definitely does not have the appeal of the original. So I'll leave it there. We've got like 2 minutes left, so we can wrap up.
Okay. So let's just say next week we're going to be doing Step by Step. So we'll be talking about that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make mention that Shout Factory TV, their Roku channel, does not have it. I was just checking it while I was
Boo.
Listening to you.
Yes.
They've got a lot of their, you know, a lot of their films. So I don't know what, you know, so I don't know what happened. Sadly they don't. So, but anyway, thanks everybody. This is an awesome show.
Yeah,
thanks.
Thank you for at least watching the first one. I feel bad because I kind of took up most of the time for the second one, but
that's fine. join us on. I guess you guys can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and hopefully we'll be doing other stuff too. So join us on those things. And thank you all for listening.
Yep.
Thanks.
Everybody
good
have a good
y'all.
Night.
Don't open the gate. All
right, have a great night, everybody.
Welcome,
don't open the gate. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.